Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello. And welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot. We are now no longer in the off season of the Happy Foot, Sad Foot season. We are in the beginning of the new season. We're marking it right here. Maybe it's both. Maybe this is the end of the off season and the beginning of the new season for us. Anyway. Yeah,
can this still be preseason? I feel like I'm still in preseason form. I'm not ready to fully.
Oh yeah, this is our preseason. This is our okay, one okay. Preseason match.
Oh, okay.
I'm Darren Miller. I'm here with La Rosa. We're here. We're starting up. Travis, unfortunately, could not be with us tonight. He is handling some family health issues. He will be back with us. We'll keep you posted on that. And in the meantime, we will be moving forward to talk about LAFC and anything you guys want to talk about. We really just wanted to like hang out with you guys and check in when we could and answer questions. If you've got questions, try to make sense of everything that's happened this off season. We will have a full meaty season preview for you, of course, and then a first match preview and post-game live streams. Very excited to finally get back to that stuff. But in the meantime, there's no shortage of other things to talk about. But first, how's life, Vince? What's going on?
Just a note on Travis for everybody. Like Darren said, I mean, he's got some stuff going on, but he really, really wanted to be here, and he probably will be involved in the stuff coming up as much as he can be. So if you're watching the show right now, you're thinking it's probably going to be 50% less funny and chaotic, which could be good or bad, depending on how you like your show. But Darren and I will try our best to be funny. We're the straight men. We're not really the funny guys. So, but luckily, to your point, Darren, there's like so many questions that people send in, and they're very like straightforward. Like people really want to talk about football. They really want to talk about LAFC, and maybe they don't want funny. I don't know. If you guys want to get wild in the comments here, Darren will bring those up too. Because listen, I like weird questions.
I am more of a straight man character here, but I am more comfortable in scenarios where people want funny. So I'm in kind of a lose-lose situation myself, but I do kind of feel like I want goofs. So also feel free to get weird in the chat. Don't let us hold you back because we're, you know, missing a limb. We got some comments rolling in. I'm reading right now. Maybe we should see what's going on in the comments before we get into it. Some of you guys tweeted at us with some questions too. If you're in the chat, throw out anything that you want to talk about, any questions you have about what's been going on, what's going on this season, anything you want out there that comes to mind right now. We'll throw some things out and just to get a pulse on how you guys are doing, how you guys are feeling about things.
I have a question for you before we get into the questions, because I just... Having you typed up some of the questions that you got through Happy Foot, Sad Foot, I took the ones that I got personally. I'm just kind of taking a general temperature of everybody. And it does seem like LAFC fans are in that stage of like a simmering panic. Like it's not completely boiling over, but they're right teetering on the edge. Where are you at in the offseason? Are you a panicker before the season starts because there's so much unknown? Or do you just, you trust the process and you just let things fall where they may.
I'm somewhere in between. I think your metaphor is very good. I think what I feel like Thorington accomplished is he brought the pot to a boil. It was like a roaring boil. And this is where we're at when he like noticed that it's boiling and turned it down a little mm-hmm. bit so that it can keep exactly at the right temperature. So it's like, it's just after the boil, I think. Because there a point there where it was like, there was that period where it was like, we lost everyone and we hadn't yet gained anyone. And everyone was like, what do we do? What's going on?
Does John get credit from you or even you guys in the chat? You can answer this. Like when he showed up to that press conference and all of you were like, we have 7 players. Where are all the players? And he literally was like, trust me, bro. Like, I got to say, there was zero, like he looked, I don't know this for sure, but he looked like he's been sleeping well. He's been exercising. He's fit. He's tan. And like, while everyone's freaking out, he's like, I'm great, guys. Why don't you ask how I am? I'm doing fantastic. And by the way, the team's going to be good too. Don't you worry. And everyone was like, no. And that I thought that was pretty funny. Like him just sitting there being like, we'll be cool. Don't worry.
He's fine.
Got it.
He's fine. Which I think at the time, the first time he came out with that attitude, I think it infuriated people. Because he was like,
I know that for a fact because I did some of those interviews and people lost their minds when remember when we started defining what the word tweak means? Because John was like, we just need to do some tweaks. And obviously they added a ton of players, but like it got down to like tweaks means 3 players. No, tweaks means 2.5 players. Like it was pretty insane.
Are we talking about just like contract terms?
It was insane.
Yeah, but I'm feeling good now. I imagine it got brought down to a bit of a similar to the point where I think there's going to be some healthy debate now. I think people are going to be justified wherever they fall, except for, of course, the people who always fall on the like, this is hell. We're screwed. I'm not going to agree with those people. But yeah, I'm thank you for all the love in the comments. This is great. Yeah, I'm feeling good about things now. We got some very exciting like finish line stuff. There's still maybe one more missing piece. That maybe we'll find out about.
Well, before we got everything ready, I was just doing a little research and they did have an interview with Steve after the final Coachella game. And he alluded to our roster is not complete. We're hoping for, and he said like 1 or 2 more signings. So it seems like there is more coming in. He didn't specify what positions, but generally he doesn't speak out. I feel like, just because his closeness with John, unless he knows something, like, cause that's like kind of throwing John under the bus. If he's like, yeah, you know, we need 1 or 2 more guys. He doesn't seem as the type to be combative that way. So I do think there is a possibility to do that. I know in the questions people are asking, at least some of those Twitter questions about like what we're going to do with DP slots. And we can talk more about that, but there is room to do things and things are interesting the way that they've compiled the roster.
Yeah. Okay. Should we get into that now or should we start?
Yeah. Let's just start getting into questions because the chat's going off. We can't be here all night.
Yeah. And if I've been a little bit slow here, it's because I'm going through the chat. I'm trying to save the comments that I want to make sure we don't miss and get to later. Yeah. Let's go to some submitted stuff. Let's go with the chat now because we can go to the stuff that people send it on Twitter anytime. Let's go where people are hot here. Hang on. I'm getting back. I'm rusty on the live stream.
On the controls?
Okay. Well, we're just going to go in the order they came in, okay? And I think this is a good first one because it's the default question. First question, Vince, I like that he directed this at you. Less work for me. Is Vela coming back? You just know the answer, right?
Yeah. I've been hiding it all this time. Actually,
that'd be great.
Guys, I am Carlos Vela's agent. Can you believe that? Like, that's awesome. Actually what I've been doing all this time. Actually, that would be so awesome.
Because that'd be fun.
It'd be passive income. I don't even have to do anything. I just go like, hey, do you want to sign one of the most talented Mexican international players of all time? I think he's coming back. And again, for a couple of reasons. One, I know Carlos, kind of the speed at which he likes to do things and the way he likes to do things. And a lot of the things that were passed around like, oh, he's going to go to Chivas. Oh, he's going to go to Tigres. That's not Carlos. Like Carlos wants to be happy and he wants to be comfortable. And going back to Mexico, I know absolutely 100% was not comfortable for him. So basically, he lessened the places he could go. And really, it was like, go back to Sociedad or play with LAFC. And when you start to think about those like options for him, that really makes me think that he's going to be with LAFC. I think they were trying to put all the pieces together first to make see how much they might have left over, because they did have to make some moves. They had a lot of roster construction to do. And even in that same interview where Steve said, we got one or two pieces maybe coming in, he said, yeah, we'd love to have Carlos here. We like him. Maybe we'll be able to work something out. So it makes me think that like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be taken care of. My only thing is with that is like, I've been watching his stories. The man's been enjoying life, not being at preseason, probably not training very much. Never was known to love training anyways, especially when he didn't have to. So if he does sign, I think it'll take, I would say he'd have to go through like a preseason. So preseason is normally about 5 to 6 weeks. So I wouldn't expect to see, if Carlos Vela signs today, I wouldn't expect to see him on the field within, you know, 4 weeks from now. 4 weeks would be like the soonest I could see him coming on for maybe just like a cameo performance. But no, I do think he's going to, I think
makes sense.
Vela would come back.
I mean, in the chat, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think people really need him to be, and the reality is, I don't think we're looking at him as a starter. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I don't think people need that out of him. I think it's just people just want him on the roster. People just want him to be there.
Yeah, I think like, I still would think he would start a good chunk of games. Like, he's not going to be sitting on the bench. He's still, like, to what people want to say, like, he lost a step last year, he still had pretty good numbers, still provides a lot for you in terms of, like, you have to cover Carlos Vela. It's not like teams could be like, he's done, he's cooked. Let's not, like, teams were guarding Vela. Like,
I don't mean, like, full-time starter. Like, I would expect him to come out every time he plays.
Yeah, I would think, you know, that 2022 season when they won the cup, remember when he would come out a lot? I would expect kind of like the, like, he'll get his chance to start games, he'll play parts in games, but I don't see him going 90 minutes. I could say, like, I would say if I had to guess, I would say like over under 19 total, like full 90s for Vela, which in a season with 34 games, that's like plus Leagues Cup and everything. That's, he's playing, you know, less than half of all those games he's playing the full 90 minutes, but still Carlos Vela, man. It's like, he can still do so many things with his left foot. And yeah, the team's young.
Yes.
So I think you need like, in the next couple of signings, I if it was me, I would like to see some players that maybe have a little bit more experience in MLS specifically. Because you brought in a lot of kids that are high potential. You got a player like Campos who's played a lot in Liga MX, which great for a young player, but every league is different. So I think we saw that in 2022. Having a core of a lot of guys that really know MLS really well really helps. So I think maybe just, you know, when you lose it like a Kellen Acosta, that's a big hole. So you've lost somebody that really navigates an MLS season. So that's what I would like to see.
That makes sense. I think we also last season saw the upside and the downside of the really thorough recruiting that we do and seeing gems in so many different places. But you never know what is and isn't going to translate. Right. And in some cases, it does really well. And in some cases, it doesn't as well. And maybe that's because of a lack of MLS experience, or maybe it's 1,000 other possible things. But
it's hard, man. You know, you bring somebody like, I think what you're hovering around is a question that a lot of people ask, like, what? Why didn't Mario work out? Like, I still think Mario's a good player, and I think he'll probably play well in the second division in Spain. But like, it just didn't translate. Maybe he wasn't able to get comfortable in the system. I happen to think maybe he was the wrong type of player. He was maybe more of a, like, a box player, where LAFC doesn't really play a system that lets a player like that thrive. We want more of a nine that will come and link up play. Whereas Mario's like, no, just get, you guys get the ball in and around the box and I'll figure it out. So I think he never felt comfortable, but yeah, to your point, like, you can, best laid plans, but everything is a risk. Even when you bring a Gareth Bale to LAFC, like, that was a risk. We didn't know how. We knew he's a phenomenally talented player. He obviously scores the greatest goal in LAFC history, but like, his injury troubles were a real problem. But you take a chance on that because it's Gareth Bale. And I think there's certain things, like, this young kid from Venezuela. Like, he's probably the greatest talent to come out of Venezuela in their history, but he's still 18. So, like, how much can you really count on him? And how much is fair to count on him? Like, it's not fair to just be like, okay, kid, like, you got a lot of hype around you. Everyone in Venezuela thinks you're great, so we're just going to throw you out there and you figure it out. I just don't think that's fair. So you got to, everything's a chance.
That makes sense. Okay, we've got a few things from Eva Castillo over here. The lore signing. I'm not mad, but we treated some legends very shittily. There's a few comments from him. Not too impressed with the offseason so far. I don't know how many people are on that side of things, but this is where that side of the spectrum on the chat right now is represented. Overall, in the offseason, how happy are you with where we're at?
Okay, so if I'm trying to be as objective as possible, I would say I'm very happy with the talent that they've brought in and the age profile. So you've got a lot of, like I said, young players. And although they're young, they've actually played a lot. Like, again, going back to Campos, I think he has over 100 matches played in Liga MX. That's pretty great for a guy that's 21 years old. Like, he's got experience. But I would say this, LAFC objectively has a really high upside, but the floor of the team when you bring in so many young players is probably lower than seasons past. So, like, it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster because, again, what can you expect from an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old player? Yeah. And even the guys that are now, like, established, Bogush is what? 23. Tillman is 25. Like, yeah, they're coming into their prime, but they're still relatively young players. So that's what I would say is, like, this team is going to, there's going to be some games where, like, you watch them play and they're going to hit the highest of highs, but don't be surprised if they, at least early on, there's going to be times where they fall flat because they don't maybe have that baseline like they did in 2022 when they had a lot of veteran guys where, like, you could just count on them. Like, maybe they're not going to be the best, you know, maybe not they're going to hit nines and tens all time, but they're never going to drop below a six, you know, on like a 1 to 10 scale. Whereas I think these kids can hit nines and tens, but don't be surprised if there's some fours and threes thrown in there. And that's going to be tough. So you're going to have to manage those. And Steve's going to have to do a really good job of managing their personalities and just managing their confidence. Because if I'm 18 years old and I start to have some bad games, like we saw it a little with Stipe Buick, you start to have some bad games, like you start pushing a little bit harder, things get, even the things you're good at get a little more difficult. So I'm just saying, like, that's something you got to be a little bit worried about.
We still got some. I mean, I think who are the solid veterans that you still can count on this roster? We've got Hollingshead, we've got Ilya. We've got,
but Hugo. Look, this might have been the just so many games, but you did see a drop off physically from those guys.
Yes. Yeah. They're
so that, older, but that is also.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking more along. You're talking about like kind of locker room stuff too.
Yeah. No, it's everything. But I'm just saying, like, at times when I can always count on those guys to have it like in between their ears and to understand that they know how to play the game and they know the game model. But if you can't run,
there's a middle of the pack though. Also, as far as experience goes, that last year you kind of get the sense that like this year was going to be their year, or this is kind of when they're due to be like the big breakout year. So I think that's what I'm going to be looking at is like, is this the year that Tillman goes like consistently how good we know he can be and players like that.
But there's a balance there, right? Like you don't want to rely on your, like you could have,
but you can't count on
four guys where you're like, this guy's prime to break out. And like we said, everything's a chance. There's no way you're going to hit on every single guy that's prime to break out, right? So some are going to be duds and you got to have some kind of like, again, baseline to make sure that you win games and it's a long season.
Yeah. Should we get into this is more technical. Our good friend Jeff Talk here. A tame start on the preseason for Jeff Talk here. They have to sign three more players for the senior roster. Should we get into the like technical roster?
I actually kind of agree. I mean, yeah, like three more players. I think
objective. I'm assuming this is more of a compliance comment than a opinion.
No, I don't.
That's just how many slots.
No, I mean, fill. No, I don't think you necessarily have to fill. Like they have, I believe they should be at the minimum of what they would have for like senior players. There's a maximum of senior players you can have, though. That's for sure.
Well, what are their options right now as far as like roster compliance goes?
Well, I mean, right now they do have DP slots open. That's what everybody wants to talk about. And I don't know.
That question right now.
Right. So a lot depends on, I think, at Tuesta. He's not listed as a DP as of right now, and he may not be. But if he's on loan and there's an obligation to buy, like the transfer fee plus salary gets amortized over the length of the contract, and that's what makes you a DP. So if you go over 1.6, about 1.6-ish million for those at, on average for the year, then you are a DP. There's no way that you could, there's no amount of TAM that can buy that player down. So that's going to be interesting. However, if let's say if Atuesta is like just right at that 1.6 and technically could be bought down, that would be very interesting because that would allow LAFC to get either a young DP or a senior DP. That is the one like kind of leeway in the having three. And now I'm just throwing out like a bunch of things. Three. So they have the three under 22 initiatives. So if they have a player that is either a young designated player or a player that is technically below the max TAM threshold, they could still add another senior DP, even if, let's say, Atuesta is listed as a DP. As of right now, I said, he's not, but I'm just curious about how that loan works. I don't know if there will be more talks about that, or we won't know about that until they actually maybe sign a DP, and then they tell us how all the roster mechanizations work. But LAFC definitely puts, like, everything. There's like times when they do something like Bogush came in under like some designation that I'd never heard about. So LAFC definitely, despite people being upset about them not always filling all the DP slots, like they get creative with the amount of things that they try to do with the roster.
That makes sense. Yeah, we'll see. Okay, what do we got? I'm very sad to see Kellen go. We touched on that, but
real veteran presence.
Yeah, I don't know that there's been a lot of chatter about that yet either. You said, like you said, it's a huge hole. But yeah, he was a big part of the team, like emotionally too, as a fan. And a big part of him, I mean, he's a big part of the league in general. He's staying in the league. No?
Yes.
Where is he going? Chicago Fire. Oh, was he in the game?
I don't believe he was with them yet for that game.
I caught right before the floodgates opened, I left to take my kid to the urgent care. Another story, but I missed all the fun.
Let's start for another day.
So that was annoying. Speaking of which, another question that came in, I think, is a very important question. Danny, what's going on? Excited to have you back. Ordasm or Ordasm? Is it O-R-D-A-S-M?
I'm going to go with the Z because the S is just too on the nose, and we're talking about a young kid. It's just a weird thing to say in general. Let's go with the Z, so just it seems more abstract.
I fully agree. Yeah. The Z gives you an opportunity that's like, how do you pass that?
Gives you an out. It was just for lulz. Yeah,
it's
it gives you an in.
Like, why? Yeah, I think it's 100% Z. And if when Travis comes back, if he disagrees, he's wrong. He's not allowed to.
The blue part of our podcast, the man on record with very triple X takes, will definitely have a take on that.
Speaking of blue, here's my segue. Can each of you take a side and argue for or against the new blue cards and whether or not it makes its way to MLS? Vince, do you have context here? You want to set the table a little bit on the
I was going to ask Darren, I was going to ask you to explain what blue cards are.
I'm not really, I've only seen really the reactions to it. I don't know officially what has and hasn't been announced. All I know is speculation.
The only thing that's been announced is that FIFA is officially looking at it and they want to test it out. So generally when FIFA does new things, they want to do new rules, they send it to like lower leagues in like the Netherlands, or they send it to a somewhat professional league so they can kind of see it at a high level, and then they decide whether or not they think it's worthwhile to recommend to IFAB, who actually makes the final rules on what, you know, basically what the laws of the game are. So as of right now, they really want to try it, but they have not announced where they're going to try it at yet and if they're even going to. But I would say they're going to.
Do you think we fit MLS the profile for the kind of league where they would want to test it?
I mean, why not? Right. The league has to be open to it, right? Like, there are some amateur leagues that they already do it in, so they do have some data on it. But
oh, really?
We once had, you know, shootouts where guys ran from almost midfield and took on the goalkeeper.
Our fans, we can take it as much as we act like we can't.
Right. And that was something that, like, there was no chance in hell that was ever going to translate over to other leagues. This might actually end up being a rule across all, you know, FIFA governed leagues. So why not try it out? I think it's interesting. It is weird because it is a bit drastic to just like pull a player off. And there's a lot of like, how does this
happen?
What
is the rule exactly? It's a blue card for what, 10 minutes off? Like a full-on hockey?
It's like it's basically
situation.
Hockey. So like, is there going to be a box? Like, where is he going to sit? Does he just stand there? Like, there's all the kinds of things that they're going to have to figure out. But yeah, so basically it's like a foul in between a yellow and a red. You go off for 10 minutes and the team gets basically a power play. The thing is, there's times when teams play with a player down and they play better or they defend well. Like, it doesn't necessarily change the profile of the game. I don't know. I'd be very interested to see it in practice.
I kind of just don't understand like what glaring problem it solves.
They think that guys will think less before. Basically, they want to use it for professional fouls. So if you're doing a foul where it's like, yeah, we're going to give you a yellow for breaking up a dangerous counter, but like we can't even think about giving you a red because you're at midfield. Well, now you're going to think twice because you're not just going to get a yellow. You're going to have to walk off the field for 10 minutes. But still, like players will find a way, like players and coaches will find a way to game this system. I don't know. I have to see it. I don't love it, but
okay. I'll take the argument for it to fulfill the request here. I don't think it will be bad enough to outweigh the chaos that it brings, which is positive. I am pro chaos 100%. And that is a way that I live my life. And I welcome that on the pitch as well. And I understand the downsides of it, but you can get rid of any rule that you can bring in. And what if it's awesome? Are you really going to let that chance pass you by as a fan? You could have full on power plays in soccer. That's fun. Maybe they couple with it. You can sub more. Like there's a lot of things.
It like rock and jock type things where like when that guy's in there, you can interview him. Like they can go be like, so like, what were you thinking? And he's like, oh man, I was just like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I guess the argument against it is that like you're just not, you don't like fun. Maybe. Is that what you're trying to say? That you don't like fun?
You don't like chaos? This is the LAFC offseason chaos live stream.
What do you think a sport is? It's a series of manufactured rules that are only there because it's fun.
This is a very important point.
Do you like sports? Not forget people what are you that, doing like, here?
All the rules are made up in the first place.
Yeah.
So changing the rules is not like that big of a... I mean, it's a deal. Like you got to think about it. But at the end of the day, like these aren't like the Ten Commandments. They're not written in stone. Given from on high, like someone just made it up.
I think the one thing that's hard to get past with this, to bring it back home a little bit, is like, I feel like if we're talking about problems to solve with reffing the game, this is like not number one on the list. Like,
sure. Yeah,
maybe we could just like, maybe the refs could be a little better before they use this card. There's like another
anyway, like one more thing for one more like distinction for them to think about. Yeah, I'm
not
with
even
you
that. Just
especially
like I feel like there are, like maybe whatever problem it's solving wouldn't necessarily exist to the extent that it does if they were like getting other things right more often.
Right, like if they already like applied the rule book in the way it's supposed to be, then maybe we wouldn't have this problem.
Right. Okay. Are we looking at Atuesta or Sanchez midfield, or an Atuesta and Sanchez midfield? Great question.
Good question.
From Michael Gutierrez. I'm sorry, I haven't been calling out the names of everyone who's submitted questions, and I should be giving you guys credit for all of these great questions. Keep them coming.
Both. I think the answer is both. Steve alluded to it in preseason, saying that it gives them the chance to have different looks. And I think for a lot of people that remember, look, Atuesta did play as like the deepest midfielder, technically the six or the defensive midfielder, but has very different properties and very different skill set than Ilie does. I think Ilie is more the type of a six that Steve likes. He likes a tackling six, a guy that can cover space, a guy that stops counterattacks. That's not really Atuesta's game. Atuesta is a six that controls the game with the ball at his feet. So in that regard, I don't think that Atuesta is necessarily forbidden from playing with Ilie because I don't think Steve sees them as the same type of player in the first place. Now, how you configure the midfield around the two of them because of their limitations together is something that's up to Steve. Like, do I think you could play with a Tillman, Atuesta, and Ilie midfield? yeah, it's going to be a really technical kind of midfield, not with a lot of bite to it. Could you play with like an Atuesta to Tillman Bogish midfield? Now where you're really pushing it, where you're like, you got a bunch of dribbly boys that like to play and no one likes to tackle. Then no, I don't think we'll always see that, but there's going to be games and there's going to be,
well, now I want to see it. We got to have the dribbly boys.
Well, yeah, there's going to be times where LAFC might be down a goal and needs a goal, and that's the configuration of the midfield, or games where you feel like you have a lot of control and you don't necessarily need Ilya, so you can give him a rest. And then there's going to be other games where you look at it and say, okay, the team we're playing against, when we turn the ball over, really likes to work, you know, quickly through the midfield. We need extra help in there, and we can't go with, you know, too many offensive minded guys. So I think the answer is both. I think you're going to see times, because Steve has already done this in past seasons, where it's more of a 2-in-1 where you got two guys deeper and one guy further forward, more as like a 10. And then there's going to be times where you just see Ilya as the deepest, and I think Atuesta actually further forward with like a Tillman or a Bogus. So I think naturally Steve sees Atuesta as a more offensive player, more of an 8-ish player than a 6. But I do think there will be times when we see Atuesta in that position you're used to seeing him in, which is, again, the deepest part of like an inverted triangle midfield.
That makes sense. I mean, I just want the dribbly boys now. One goal for this year
make the t-shirts.
Is justified merch. Justified dribbly boys merch. We can't put it out until it's really a thing. So they got to make it a thing, and then we can put it out.
Can we at least like say that the three of us have worked on some like fire merch that hopefully will be coming soon?
Yes.
That I'm really excited about.
We've been working on some merch in the offseason. We haven't been able to go live or record as much as we had hoped, but we have been photoshopping. So that's been fun. I hope to get you guys some cool merch soon. Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jeff Talk not happy about us calling him tame. That's understandable. We're not doing call-ins on this show. Not this one. But
how did you feel about the Photoshop job?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Jeff Talk made it into a Photoshop. Check it out on our socials.
Actually, Mark Dos Santos sent me the cry laughing emoji from Instagram. So he found it really funny.
All right.
So assistant coach of LAFC has seen it.
I mean, you got to assume he's shown it to everybody, right?
He's just going, yeah. He's out there in Coachella just going around the meal room like, do you guys see this? Do you see these guys?
That's like what we dream about. It's like they're not talking about tactics. They're not talking about training. They're like, check out this social media post from this random fan podcast.
You do dream about it, but I can tell you this from experience. There was a couple times, and it wasn't over big stuff, where like I literally have shown up to the when I worked there, I'd show up to the complex and somebody would be like, oh, we were just talking about you. And the terror, the sheer terror of like going through my mind, like, what did I do? Like, what did I say? What did I write? Oh my God, they've been talking about me. Like,
yeah.
You want it, and then when you hear it, you think, oh my God, this is not good. But hopefully it's all good things on our side.
Guys, understand it. Podcasting is scary, if nothing else, for that one reason. Like you're the things you say are living on forever. That is a little scary. Jabs303 says, is there any update on MLS's supposed crackdown on the 3252 for the flares? I don't know the answer to that. That might be a question for the 3252. It might not be a public answer.
I've heard nothing is public yet, and I don't think anything is set in stone yet, but there are conversations. So hopefully it comes to a good conclusion, because that'll be a bummer.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll see some flares and we'll get some more, some louder answers. What is the ideal starting 11?
I don't think we've filled in the roster.
Too soon to say, I would say. Well, what's your ideal starting front line? Can we answer that?
And I think we actually had some questions come in from like our, from our socials, kind of asking about like Justin, what is it? Justin on Twitter asked,
Justin 33W?
We're going to sign a proper number nine before the 24th, right? And he, basically he's like, I don't understand. I don't know if he likes Tomas Angel. He's not sure on Ordaz. Other people have asked, is it Ordaz or Angel to start at the nine? If it's me, it's Angel. And you might have your reservations about him. Look, I watched a little bit of the game like you did, Darren, and I saw a team that looked like they're still getting fit and a lot of heavy legs. So Angel didn't impress me all that much, although his assist was kind of nice. But I just, my worry with Ordaz is just like, he's still very much like got a boyish figure to him. And I just wonder about the wear and tear. Cause man, you look at the defenders in this league, especially the center backs, they're all like 6'2". They're all big dudes. They're going to kick you. And I just worry about that. Whereas Angel, although he's young, comes from a Colombian league that is known for being very physical. So he has dealt with this. He's done it at a high level. He's won championships. I just think that it's going to take him a little bit of time to get used to it, but he very much plays in the way that they like. Like he, from what I've heard about him, is he's not your, like when people ask for a proper nine, which I think what they're asking for is, again, that guy that just stands in the box and finishes crosses, which LAFC doesn't play that way anyways. He's more of a nine-ish 10. He plays a lot like actually the way Carlos plays. He's left-footed, likes to come off the right, likes to link up. Maybe he can, he's younger, so he's going to run in behind a little bit more, give you a little bit more of that true striker instinct. I think he's got it. I think he's a very interesting player. And look, for the fact that, one, he is the son of Juan Pablo Angel, who scouts for LAFC and has a fantastic player in his own right. And the fact that they got him for free, there was no transfer fee at his age, like, yikes. Incredible. So I just think that's a really good signing with a lot of upside. I would think he's your starting nine. And I honestly wouldn't be upset if he is like who they project as the starter and they're not going to get a nine. Now that's going to probably upset a lot of people, but I feel like he's got the talent to be a very good MLS player.
Last year, we kind of like everyone kind of, it was like a monkey's paw situation with Mario a little bit. It's just like, here, you want a nine? Oh, maybe you didn't want a nine.
Careful what you wish for.
Get it? Like you said, like if that's not our game, then why are we, Abel Castillo is still going off in the chat here. I love it. I love this energy. Everyone bring it up to an 11 like this. No fucking nine.
They don't play with an.
Why are we here? Yeah. I think he's got a point.
But they don't. But they don't, like, they didn't play with a nine when they won MLS Cup in the Supporters Shield. So, but you want them to change and play in a style because, like, their wingers don't cross the ball. Their wingers score goals. So you need a nine that incorporates Bwanga. What do you're going to relegate Bwanga to dribbling by a guy and crossing the ball because you brought in a nine that just stands there and finishes? Like, that's not going to work. Like, again, it's just, I get it. Like, they fell short at the final rung in a lot of stages, but it wasn't because they didn't have a nine. Like, yes, they needed auxiliary scoring options. They needed someone else putting in the ball in the back of the net. But it's not one position. It's a player doing it.
That's
not
a necessarily play a position that they can successfully execute. Really, that's a tandem. I think what people seem to have said last season when they wanted a nine is like, we want another goal scorer. When it's like, it's okay for Bwanga to be your main goal scorer and not be a nine, and you can find someone else to also score goals, and that person doesn't have to be a nine. So yeah, it's kind of a...
And Jacob's in the chat pointing out, wasn't Chicho a nine? And like, yeah, Chicho was more nine-ish than like Vela, but they very much asked Chicho to do a lot of the things that maybe he didn't really want to do and wasn't as comfortable with, because he has to play within the system to link up the front line. And you saw a lot of times where he's literally dropping back and he's trying to basically get the center backs to move out of position so that Bwanga can run into space. That's when they were good. Like, Chicho played the position well and he understood the role very, very well for a guy that traditionally probably doesn't want to do that. Whereas the flip side of that is Mario, who is a guy that didn't want to do that and just could not, you know what I mean? But if Angel can play the position in a way that Chicho did, and by the way, he comes from the Colombian league, which is where Chicho was as well, and he proved he could score in Colombia, then isn't that the best of all worlds for LAFC fans?
You know, I think losing Chicho seemed to be where we all got the bug of like, well, we lost Chicho. He filled that role for a nine that worked really well for us. So now we need a nine. And we all, like, everyone piled on and it was like, that's just decided. The fans need a nine. I think Trundolo has proved that he likes flexibility. I think Thorington has proved that he likes players, not positions. That seems like the direction to go in. That does seem to work for them and for me as a fan. We've got some more questions on Twitter. Sorry, go ahead.
In a salary cap league, that makes sense too. The more that you have players that can fulfill multiple roles, the more you can maximize your salary cap.
Yeah, because we also learned last year that you don't get the luxury of a lot of depth all the time. You can't be like, here's our four number nines. These three are on the bench and they'll come in as soon as we need them. Okay, stuff still going on in the comments. What's going on? What should we pick from Twitter here? We've got another list of questions coming in from there. Omar, which one of you is going to kidnap Vela and have him resign? I just have, logistically, it's hard for me. I got a lot of stuff going on. I got kids to take to school and pick up. I got a job.
It's an easy answer, Darren. If anyone's kidnapping anyone from the LAFC team, it's Travis.
That's Travis. Yep. He's the one with the crazy wall. So that's going to have to be him. Because you got to show him the crazy wall. That's how he convinces him, right?
Yeah.
Is that a real... I feel like it's normal for people to think about kidnapping people to convince them to do something, but that's not why people kidnap people. I've never heard of that being a thing that's done.
At first I was like, where are you going with this?
Successfully happened. But like, people don't kidnap people to just be like, to just reason with them and then send them off on their way with a new way of looking at the world. Like,
just so you know, I've done this for your own good. You're going to join a very good LAFC team. They're going to pay you pretty well. Like, maybe it's not exactly what you want to get paid, but they're going to pay you pretty well. You actually already know these guys. You love them. So basically I did this at risk of going to jail for the rest of my life just to tell you I'm doing you a favor. So if you could leave here and not tell anyone about this, that would be great. Have a good time on LAFC.
He did say have him resign, not convince him to resign, which is maybe a little more worse, obviously, objectively, but maybe a little more realistic because it would be like forcing his hand in some way.
Yeah.
That feels more in line with how people treat
him. I've got a signed Carlos Vela jersey. So if Travis needs to learn how to forge Vela's signature.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
I went the convincing route because that's all the three of us could, if we were ever able to get into the mindset of kidnapping somebody, which we aren't, I would imagine the only thing we could possibly do is just get them into the situation where it is that mindset. It's like, if they could only just hear me out and hear what I have to say, our weapons are our words. You're going to leave here just agreeing with me and then you're going to go out and you're going to make the right choice. Maybe Ilya should talk to him. If we need him to make the smart choice.
I'm sure
we need him to make the smart choice. We need him to go bottom right. Yeah,
make the smart choice. Carlos,
which is where the signature line is on the contract. It's all coming.
Don't you want to make the smart choice, Carlos? That's Ilya's pitch to him.
Yeah. Should we put out an image that's like the little target on the contract line? Contract. Ilya, tell Vela to sign here. Okay. Just work stopping some jokes in the preseason here, guys.
Yeah, this is where we really miss Travis.
This is going great. Comeback player of the year for Eddie Segura.
I've heard good things. I've heard a lot of good things. People have said he's looked really good. For obvious reasons, they're bringing him along slowly. I think he's only played about 30 minutes max in any of the matches. Makes sense. You know, his ACL injury was one where he had to have multiple surgeries, which is crazy that is actually like a thing now. If you're an Angel City fan, you've got someone like Kristen Press, who I believe has had four surgeries on her ACL. Like, I thought they were getting better at these things, but I guess that they're not.
Yeah, are they doing it like four smaller surgeries? Or is it just like, whoops, let's try again?
I think from what I understand is, they get in there and they fix as much as they can without doing extra damage. And sometimes that means that they're going to have to wait and then go back because your knee swells up after it.
Surgeries.
Yeah. It's less risky ultimately for you as a person to be able to walk in your life, but to be a professional athlete,
you could say a priority.
Yeah. To be a professional athlete, maybe not, but yes, from what I've heard, Eddie looks really good. He's ready to go. I do think they'll bring him along slowly, which is nice that you have brought up Lorenzo Del Valle from FC2, who is, you know, Giorgio Chiellini's like kid brother. And then you obviously have Mario, you have Long, you have guys that you can, you have that depth, I would say. But if Eddie Segura, who is a consummate top three defender of the year type player, even if he doesn't get the recognition, if he reaches that level again with Long, Mario, and Lorenzo and whoever else is already there, like that's a, that center back core is one of the best in the league.
Yeah. It's crazy to think this, but I look at that lineup and it's like, I'm pretty happy with this, even without Chiellini. It's like they've been given Chiellini's superpowers and now they're still,
a lot of people, yeah. Like I do have this one in here from Jacob, sent it to me in DMs and I know he's in the chat and he asks, here's my question. What's a bigger area of concern, lack of depth when it comes to fullback or midfield?
Interesting question.
I get it with kind of with the fullback, but like, Is the expectation that these teams will have like two full starting 11s? Because there's not really a team in MLS that has that. So like at fullback, I look at them now and you see Hollingshead, who we know can play both sides, actually has played more of the right side, which was not his position for the longest time. Mm-hmm. He was a left-sided fullback. Palencia can play both sides, although probably better on the right side. And now you have Campos, who definitely is a left-sided fullback. Like three guys for two positions and three guys that like legitimately could say they should be starting is pretty much as good as you're going to get in MLS, to be completely honest. Most teams have one starter for left, one starter for right, and a guy that you're like, all right, if he's has there. To play, he has to play. Yeah, like in LAFC, you know, and beyond Palencia, yeah, it starts to get a little bit tricky, but Duaneus can play there, although I don't want to see him there again. Mm-hmm. After, you know, the Rose Bowl game, although he wasn't that bad, but yeah, every MLS team, once you start to get injuries pile up, like it's just trouble. And that's not a bug. That's a feature of the league. That's the salary cap league. That's just the way it goes. And LFC, I think, has navigated pretty well. So I would say, long way of saying for Jacob, I guess I'd be more concerned at midfield just because the profile and the experience of someone like Kellen Acosta, I think, goes unnoticed with a lot of people. And we're counting on Bogush and Tillman to take a big step forward and be consistent. I think we've seen glimpses of it, but for them to be as consistent of a player as someone like Kellen Acosta has been throughout all of his years in MLS is risky. It's not a for sure thing. It's not a slam dunk. So I would say, yeah, maybe another very MLS solid or experienced midfielder would make me feel a little bit better about what we have as midfield right now.
For like the depth there.
For the depth in those two areas.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right. One more roster question here. David Ochoa, any word on potential contract for him?
I haven't heard anything. Obviously, you're going to probably have three keepers on the senior squad like they've had in years past. I can say this. They do like Abraham. There's two right now. It's Hugo Lloris and Abraham Romero, who a lot of people probably haven't seen unless you've been watching LAFC 2 games, but I do know that they've liked him for a while. They like his skill set as a shot stopper. He's gotten better with his feet. So don't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Ochoa gets on there, but Romero, I think like Ochoa will be more of like the third guy that's experienced, but I think they really have higher hopes for Romero long term.
That's good. I've got a lot of homework to do on name pronunciations here. Thank you for your patience, everyone, with my sorry white ass. Oh, here's a good tactics question. We've strayed from tactics for a bit, so this one's for you. Can someone, Eric Ridley on Twitter, can someone ask Ante or Dolo why LAFC never makes the near post run, which drags along defenders and opens up the trailing runner, or better yet, gives a near post runner a chance from 3 yards from goal on a low cross from the touchline? Incredibly specific question.
I mean, my answer would be, I don't think they never do. It's like
traditional.
It makes sense. Like if you've got a guy and he's central and like, let's say Bawanga is behind you, yeah, run hard to the near post and you'll probably open up. I think more times than not, we see it as the decoy run than what he's saying, the guy that can maybe tap it in at the near post. Cause it's harder to redirect at the near post. You have less to shoot at. And I think LAFC likes the cutback more, which is that. Yeah, I think my answer is not never, But I do think that, yeah, they generally like the cutbacks to the center of the goal or the back post, which are somewhat more difficult, but the reward is it's a much higher percentage chance.
I agree. That's pretty much what I would have said also, in case anyone's wondering where I stand on that. I could take the other side of the argument, but we're out of time pretty much. So,
you hate to see it. Next week.
Out of luck again. I feel like this keeps happening with us. Anything else we're missing here? I feel like we covered a lot.
No, I mean, there's some like quick hitters here. Like, let's see.
Yo,
Tori 66 asks, why is LAFC not fan friendly during preseason? My answer to that would be like,
yes, they are.
Almost most MLS teams are not, but like they do the Coachella thing. So like they've kind of met you halfway. Let's be fair there. Like, it's not like
what does fan friendly mean? What are you looking for?
I think they just want to be able to watch the games. Which is fair. But then you go out to Coachella, but I know the Houston
Dynamo. It's just not a big enough league for that, right?
Yeah. Like Houston went and did their preseason in Mexico. So unless you could go to Mexico, I believe Vancouver was in Spain, unless you could fly to Spain, which would be fantastic, but they're not flying you to Spain.
They just broadcasted a game on YouTube.
I think here's the real answer. The only reason why the teams like Manchester United and Chelsea do those things, which makes you think they're fan-friendly, is because they take your money. And if MLS could monetize all these things, yeah, just like those teams do, they absolutely 100% would allow you to go to every single preseason game.
That's big enough league. Like,
but they can't.
If you get a broadcast deal going, they will.
Yeah. But they can't. And so there's events like the Coachella tournament, which are cool things that come along. And I think that that's a good middle ground. But yeah, I think more teams would be more open if they were forced to because of the fact that they were making a lot of money. But MLS isn't there.
Yeah. That makes sense. Someone finally asked the right question here. The question I've been waiting for the whole time and forgot that I was even waiting for it. Do you like the new kits? The unofficial official kit. Thank you, Ruben Rios, for asking the question. This is one of the most important things to me.
Isn't it so weird that it looks better that it looks better with the sponsorship on it?
It does, isn't that? That is weird.
Like everyone always complains, like the sponsor ruins it. And then when they came out, they're like, doesn't look right. And now that we've seen the mock-ups with Vimo on it. It looks pretty good.
I'll say it definitely looks better with the sponsor. That said, one, I still don't think it looks good overall. And two, I don't like the way that the sponsor logo, the layout is wrong in a lot of ways.
Oh, enlighten me.
Amateur graphic designer in me still hates it, but just for other reasons and not as much. It's just a weird combination of different sizes of different shapes. A weird triangle pattern that's it just makes your eyes a little bit.
Sure.
It's not as aesthetically pleasing as it could be.
Okay.
I don't know that there's a solution to that problem. Obviously, they would have thought of it and done it if there was. But yeah, I mean, I think the headline is last season's jersey was going to be tough to beat and we didn't beat it.
Year. Last season's was the best, of all time. I still have a soft spot for the inaugural home jersey, but this one was a takeoff of that. And I think they did it a little bit better because they incorporated the pattern much more. And it was much
the inaugural home jersey. This is like the inaugural home jersey of my high school team.
Yeah. It was just a better use of the Art Deco pattern. And I think anything coming off of that jersey was going to be a step down. I don't know what you could have. I would love to see some, I gotta say, I've seen some fan mock-ups and I love you guys and I love the people that do it, but some of those are not good. And people are always that's fire. And I'm like, they're not good. Come on.
That if a fan, that there's a fan kit that everybody loves.
I don't want to deter fans from doing it. Please keep doing those. They're great.
And also, you're the asshole. As soon as you're the first one to speak up and be like, well, honestly, this one's shit.
The one that actually says no. Or I love when people do them and they're like, this is what it would look like if they wore Nike. It's not going to happen. So don't even do it.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, if they wore Nike, it's the same thing with the Nike logo on it instead of Adidas. Sometimes that's what it is.
Yeah.
Nike's not always better. Yeah. This is not a good point. We could have gone plain black and gold accents. Simple. Sometimes is all you need. I think there's a serious lack of.
Wait, isn't that what it is now? Kind of a pinstripe.
The pinstripes is a thing. I think what he's talking about is basically a solid jersey, which I think everyone's afraid to do, but always looks pretty good.
Well, because the, then you go into that territory of clean versus just you're not trying hard enough, right? Like yep, there's a very yep, thin line yep. of what a clean jersey is and what is you're not trying hard enough. And I think that Adidas heard you guys. And I think we've seen a lot of the jerseys this year, and jerseys are getting busier and busier. And this is kind of what fans ask for. So mm-hmm. you push them in one direction, and they went hard in that direction. So
one direction sometimes is vertical. You gotta, stripes.
Well, LAFC maybe didn't get the assignment completely right, but I'm seeing a lot of teams like the new Charlotte is interesting, or like the Red Bulls with the zigzags. Like some of these MLS jerseys are getting really, really busy, and I feel like we're gonna reach a tipping point where everyone's gonna actually be like, you know what, just like Abel. You're right. Maybe just a black with a little bit of accents. Maybe we just don't get so. Maybe we don't have yeah. to put every single thing on one jersey.
It's also hard when you have a solid jersey. Then the logo becomes the sponsor logo becomes like very front and center.
Yep.
We can talk about this all day. We're going to be talking about it all season. Of course, it's extremely important. Why wouldn't we? We have all season to keep talking about it. I'm sure there's going to be an official release of that jersey. There's going to be an official release of. An away kit or a home kit? There's gonna be official release of at least one more, probably two more kits. No,
yeah, there's a third jersey this year. So the green stays.
Oh, okay.
And we'll have a new home, and then there's gonna be a third jersey this year. Which there's
a lot of pressure on that third one.
So, but we'll talk more about that when it actually gets
a lot of pressure on that third jersey, guys. Cross your fingers. Oof, I've come around a little bit to the green, but I mean. I'm loving it compared to the new one. I'll say that. Anyway, is that going to do it for us? We're hitting the hour mark here. What do we think? I think
a lot of people that asked Twitter questions, we answered them in some way or another.
We did.
Whether we specifically referenced you, but thank you to Tony DeToro. Thank you to Ivan, the creator. Thank you to Gomez Jr. And people that sent in, and even though we didn't like name check you or specifically call out your question, I think we kind of answered it in one way or the other.
Keep your questions coming throughout the season. We can always like work one-offs into things. This one of the sort of like secondary reasons why we wanted to do this was to factor in whatever people are thinking to our season preview, which will be coming out soon as well.
It's also a good opportunity to tell people maybe you should subscribe to the Patreon. And we could do more Q&A episodes that are specific for our Patreon subscribers. So they feel like, you know, they're special, which they are special to us. You're all special to us. The Patreon people are just a little bit more special.
Are a lot more, a little more special.
Everyone's special. We do just a little more.
We do the occasional patron only episode. So be sure to check out patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot if you want to join and get more of this stuff. We play a little more fast and loose in these live streams and a little more fast and loose in those more sprawling episodes. We try to keep it as tight as we can for the previews, and that will be coming shortly. I shouldn't say that right before our season preview. That one's probably going to be a bit of a monster, but
season
we'll
preview
try to keep it tight throughout the season.
Of Seattle coming.
And it's coming up real soon. We haven't gotten enough of that. Just I'm real excited for the season to finally start. It's been a long time. I hope everyone else is excited. They're looking good. We're all getting into the weeds in the offseason about the different pieces. Like this could have been a full on rebuilding year, and I love to see that Thorington reiterated constantly throughout the offseason as if there was any question. Like, no, we're going for it every year. That's what we do. This is not going to be any different. So. That was great to hear, and I'm excited to see it happen.
It'll happen. Yeah,
glad that
Mustafa
was back.
I need
to talk on the screen to yell at his hot takes. Yes, Jeff Chalk will be around. We're not gonna.
We're exercising our right to bring Jeff in. We don't force Jeff to have to bring it the faux rage in preseason. We'll wait till the games.
It's truly an unfair relationship. I mean, we get to have complete control over when he gets to talk. It's not fair to him at all, and it will stay that way.
It is what it is.
Yep, but we love him. We hate him. We love him. And we love all of you. Thank you for hanging out. This has been so fun. Like Vince said, join the Patreon if you want. We're going to have merch coming out soon. We're going to have episodes coming out soon. We will be back. Travis will be back as soon as he's able to. We're going to be three. We're going to have guests. We're going to do, if you have any ideas for like segments you want to see, people you want to hear from, we'll have guests on. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. So I hope you stick around with us. tell your friends, subscribe, review, all that good stuff. We want to just keep building and building and building on what we set up last year and keep having a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody.
And we love you.
I love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.